Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now let's get some business news, because the former head of Irish Nationwide's UK operations has been fined €200,000 by the central bank, and he's been disqualified for 15 years. Gary McCollum admitted participation in breaches of financial services law before the lender collapsed. With that and more business news, here's Brian Finn of our business staff.
Gary McCollum was head of UK commercial lending at Irish Nationwide in the period under review by the central bank, which extends from August 2004 to September 2008. During that time, UK commercial property lending at the Building Society went from under €3 billion to over €5 billion, at which point it made up over half of the Building Society's commercial loan book. Mr. McCollum admitted to taking part in a sustained practice of recklessly disregarding the Society's internal policies and procedures with respect to commercial lending and credit risk. Between 2008 and 10, Irish Nationwide suffered financial losses of more than €6 billion, mainly due to the impairment of its commercial loan book. Its collapse cost taxpayers just under €5.5 billion during the financial crisis, before its remains were folded in with Anglo-Irish Bank in 2011. The central bank started public hearings about 4 years ago, and since then it has reached settlement agreements with two of the original five former executives put forward for a public inquiry. Those were former chairman Michael Walsh and one-time head of commercial lending Tom McMiniman. It dropped its case against former managing director Michael Fingleton about a year and a half ago due to his ill health. Former finance director John Stanley Purcell is the last of the five to remain subject to inquiry. He continues to defend himself. The CEO of Aer Lingus has said the company is continuing to burn through cash and that it will take a long time for the airline to fully recover from the pandemic. Lynn Embleton told politicians today that the airline is continuing to lose about €1 million a day as government pandemic restrictions continue. Over the last 16 months, that's amounted to €1 billion, which she said was unsustainable. Ms. Embleton, while welcoming government moves to ease restrictions, said they could not come fast enough and that much damage had already been done.
We had an optimism when the announcement was made on the 28th of May, and we were pleased to see many of the changes that were announced and the opening up of travel on the 19th of July. The cumulative impact of the ongoing restrictions and the issues I've raised does mean that our enthusiasm has been dampened, and it is looking too little too late to really have a significant bounce that will get us on the right path to restoring connectivity, supporting jobs, and connecting Ireland.
Bitcoin dropped below the $30,000 mark for the first time since January today. All of the gains of 2021 have now been wiped out, and substantial those gains were. The cryptocurrency surged to $65,000 at one point in April, but a crackdown by global authorities, particularly the Chinese, has gathered pace in recent weeks, which has coincided with a steady fall in the value of the digital currency.
Thanks, Brian. Now, a new report has recommended that there may be significant benefits to reopening the railway line from Galway to Mayo from a local business perspective. The research, which was conducted by West on Track Community Campaign Group, makes a case for the expansion of the Western Rail Corridor as part of the wider Atlantic Railway Corridor. The author of the report, economist Dr. John Bradley, joins us now. John, will you explain to me why you carried out this report?
Well, the government commissioned a report from EY, and it was devastatingly negative concerning the restoration. And when we examined it closely, we found the capital costs were massively overstated, and there were many negative costs loaded on the operation of the restored link: long travel times, high noise pollution. And our analysis showed that these results needed to be replaced by more accurate and detailed results. And we were literally forced into doing a full report ourselves.
And the findings show there may be a strong business case for the railing. Tell me why.
Well, the way that's measured and the way that's mandated in all of the government requirements for evaluating public investment programs is to do what's called a cost-benefit analysis. So you estimate the capital costs of building an infrastructure, and then you estimate the benefits that will flow from this new facility over a 30-year time horizon. And the benefit-cost ratio is the ratio of the benefits to the costs. So if the benefits exceed the costs, it falls into a category that might be considered for progressing further. And if it falls below one, it falls into a category that it's not really economical to do. Now, the Ernst & Young report came up with a benefit-cost ratio of 0.21, which is really so low that you might as well dig holes in the ground and fill them in again. Whereas we came up with a benefit-cost ratio of 1.2, on quite pessimistic assumptions and ignoring many of the developmental benefits from this rail link that would extend all the way up the Atlantic Economic Corridor.
Will you explain to me the infrastructure that's there and how feasible it would be to bring it back and the costs involved?
Well, the beauty of this is that it's a capital project of relatively low cost and it's ready to go. Our report, which unfortunately I couldn't send you because it was too big to transmit, our report shows, it has a chapter with the photographs of the existing infrastructure. The bridges are there, the rail line is there, everything's there. The land is still in the ownership of Inroad Éireann. If the go-ahead in this project were given, it could start tomorrow. And the total capital cost is something in the region of 150 million. So as big infrastructure projects go, this is quite a small one. And compared to the benefits that would accrue to the entire Atlantic coast, ranging all the way up from Limerick all the way up to Sligo, really justify this. And if the government is serious about regional development, they ought to move on a project like this. If I may interject, early in your program, I was listening to the debate on the EPA statements about how Ireland was falling behind its responsibilities for climate change. This is a project that will deliver green benefits. It'll take heavy lorries, freight lorries off the road. It will deflect a considerable number of people traveling by car onto rail. It will cut congestion. It's a very good project.
Okay, thank you for sharing that report with us, Dr. John Bradley, the economist. Thank you for talking to us on Drive Time.